What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. Jack, what's up?
A minor emergency pod, Nicholas.
Minor emergency pod kept me up late tonight, but we're prepping for the season, and we got Taurean Prince on an extension, 2 years, $29 million. A busy day in the NBA, and the Nets got in on it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't as lofty as some of the other deals that were done on Jaylen Brown, Buddy Hield, Domantas Sabonis, but there are some positives to this deal for the Brooklyn Nets, and I've heard mainly good things. I've been listening to a few NBA pods that have criticized it somewhat, but I can see both sides of it. And I think it's a good deal. And funnily enough, when we did his player preview, that'll be coming out very soon, when we did Ronnie Onskourts combined with it, we sort of said $11 to $14 million per year. Didn't see necessarily a two-year extension, though, which was the year number probably the most surprising thing.
Yeah, and I think it really works out for both parties being a two-year extension where the Nets aren't risking a ton because it's not like they put in big money, and also gives Taurean Prince a chance to kind of prove himself and get another really big contract out there. But just quick reminder before we get any further, you know, you can find the show on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, Dash Radio, Google Play, and YouTube. We've dropped a ton of player previews, like Jack mentioned, including Taurean Prince and Rodions. Also dropped our season preview, and that's where you can find our game recaps for this upcoming season. But how much do you think the busy day in the NBA with all these players signing extensions impacted the Nets to kind of extend Taurean Prince? Because if he went into the free agency, there's a chance he rose pretty high in terms of the top free agents.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Nick. I think at the end of the day, though, I don't think Sean Marks does deals, makes deals, gives contracts out based on what other teams are doing. I think that this was sort of looked at in-house, and it shows, you know, we sort of talked about Joseph Tsai in terms of willing to pay the tax, you know, this extension, and now it's essentially just Joe Harris and Garrett Temple, who has a player option after this season, that are the free agents on the roster. So this nucleus that we have going forward is going to be together for the next 3 years. And then after 2022-23, then you can sort of reset and sort of go from there, whether Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving opt out of their sort of options. But maybe there was some internal pressure from it. But at the end of the day, I think this was done. I think it might have been done beforehand. And I don't think, you know, Taurean Prince would have been getting an incredibly lofty deal, because a lot of the teams that have money to spend were teams like the Atlanta Hawks. And the Atlanta Hawks aren't going to be coming back for Taurean Prince again.
Now, Jack, do you think having such a big preseason where he led the Nets in points, 16.8 points per game, or 60% from the field and almost 70% from three, impacted his chance to get this extension? Or Sean Marks already had his eye on this guy when he made the trade for him in that Allen Crabbe dump?
I think it certainly did, Nick. I think you can't discount the form that he has shown. Probably been one of our top two, top three players in the preseason, you know, in terms of his performances and consistency. And the importance that he has to this roster, as we mentioned in the player preview series, he's our best wing that we have on the roster right now. He has so much upside on the defensive side, partly because he's been quite poor on that end before. But like I mentioned before, he's shown glimpses throughout this preseason up against Anthony Davis, even moments on LeBron James, where he has shown some real acumen there and some real commitment on that end of the floor. And, you know, he showed his appreciation to the Brooklyn Nets franchise. And when he did tweet out, he said, "Goes to show you how great this organization is, more so than how good of a player I am. They've embraced my family and I from day one. I could be anywhere, but God brought me here for a reason, and that's to help win, and to win, you must sacrifice." So I guess in that sort of end, Nick, he almost took unders, and it seems to me a trend for this Brooklyn Nets franchise. Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, now Taurean Prince. All these guys are taking unders, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like this team really has a goal to win a championship, and they're a little bit closer than probably a lot of people anticipate being such a new team, and it's great to see from Prince. And we know players kind of value themselves a little bit more than necessarily the public, but that's what you're supposed to do. Now, Jack, do you think, you know, Taurean Prince guarantees the Nets a championship window almost next year in the condition that Kevin Durant is, you know, 90% next season?
Yeah, I think that having Taurean Prince on the roster, you need to have capable wings at the most important position. And I think it certainly puts us in the limelight, puts us in that sort of tier of championship contention. Now, obviously, so many things can happen in 12 months. So many things can happen in weeks and days in this crazy season. But it certainly doesn't hurt it at all, Nick. And I think having Taurean Prince, and hopefully he shows some real growth on the defensive end more than anything, because we know he's a shooter. We know he's got some real offensive pop. And we know he can work in that offensive system for Coach Kenny. It's almost like Coach Kenny's wet dream, a wing that can shoot threes and hopefully play some really high-level defense, he's going to be incredibly important. So having him as a starting three alongside Kevin Durant, you know, projecting forward, obviously lots of things can happen, as I mentioned, before that point does even get there, but it's certainly a luxury to have.
Yeah, and I should have mentioned this when I asked you about the preseason thing, but I think not only like his play in the preseason helped, but his fit in the net system kind of signaled to them like, hey, this is a guy that'll really work well with us. He's versatile, 3-4 wing, can knock down the three ball. And he's also just a great complementary piece to other star players and other playmakers out there. And like you've been harping on, the defensive potential he has, it could just be a really incredible fit. If, you know, we're obviously talking hypotheticals in a sense, but it's a likely hypothetical that the Nets will have a starting lineup of Kyrie Irving, Caris LeVert, Taurean Prince, Kevin Durant, and Jared Allen next season.
It's an exciting potential starting five, that's for sure, Nick. And obviously, I think we sort of talked about the commitment in terms of what's happening this preseason. But, you know, the Brooklyn Nets did give up something to get Taurean Prince in the first place, giving up that, was it a first rounder?
Yeah, so there was two first-round picks in the Allen Crabbe salary dump, and a lot of fans were like, oh, those two picks were to dump Crabbe. But really, realistically, I always believe this too, and we could go back to the podcast and listen to it. One pick was for dumping Crabbe, and one pick was for Taurean Prince.
It essentially was. And I think that it makes the most sense. So you're essentially giving up a first-round pick to get a wing at a valuable position, and you're committing to him in this sort of short term. Were you surprised at the length of the deal, Nick?
Somewhat, but I think for like the Nets, it makes sense, especially, you know, we mentioned Spencer Dinwiddie earlier, where they didn't do the long-term contract because it would almost be an underpay for some of the guys and it wouldn't give them a chance to go out and get one more big contract. I think for Taurean Prince at the end of this deal, he'll be 29 years old, so we could get one more big deal. And the Nets also don't want to commit money because they don't exactly know who Taurean Prince is. You know, they've seen what he did in Atlanta. They saw him in the preseason, but it's not like he played on Brooklyn last year and they don't know him to the highest level. So I think it's almost a safe length for both parties.
If you were Sean Marks and you know, you are the GM of the Brooklyn Nets, would you have given this deal or would you have waited out the season?
I think, honestly, I know we talked about how we don't like to be pressured from the outside, but with all those moves happening, I think it almost forced your hand to a sense where you don't want to let Taurean Prince get onto the open market, because if he does have an incredible season, there's a chance you can't keep him because it just might be too big of a number, or now you have to decide between him and Joe Harris and Dallas, or you're just like extremely deep in the luxury tax, and that kind of even limits you in different ways.
Yeah, and I think in that sense as well, if Taurean Prince had have played well and had have proven himself over the 82 games, it could have been an even more expensive extension. We could have been giving him 4 years, $52 million, which, you know, hampers the team somewhat to an extent as well. So it almost is like a catch-22. When you're looking at all of the factors that are taken in terms of the amount of dollars on offer, the years, you know, it gives you a little bit of flexibility in so many different ways. And those short sort of deals, you know, we saw going back to Joe Harris, 2 years, $60 million. Caris about 3 years, you know, $52.5 million. And then Spencer Dinwiddie with about 3 years, $35 million. You know, there hasn't been any large extensions unless you're Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant.
Yeah, exactly. And this is kind of like not the most likely scenario, but the shorter deal makes it a better trade asset too. You know, the team that's trading for him doesn't necessarily have to commit to him long term, or if it's an expiring contract type thing further down the line, because it didn't look like the Nets would trade him this year, but maybe when KD comes back, there's another all-star out there and they can make a really, really big splash. Now they have another tradable contract.
Yeah, exactly. And in that sense, sort of, Nick, weighing up all the pros and cons, you know, if you're grading the Nets move and the contract extension and everything overall, if you're giving them a grade A, B, C, D, E, F, what are you going to give Sean Marks based on this extension alone?
I'll go with B+ here. I think it was a solid move. I don't think it's his best move because there is still a chance that we don't know who Taurean Prince is or if he's going to have a great season because, like I've mentioned before, he didn't play in Brooklyn, but it also has the potential to be a steal. He could end up earning a contract if he didn't sign this extension for maybe about $18 or $20 million this upcoming offseason, but now they have him at a good price around $15. I think you like it. And you like it for the senses when you're capped out and you have guys like Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and DeAndre Jordan and Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, you're not going to have options to bring in free agents or bring in pieces. You keep him here, and like I mentioned, he could be a trade asset too. So I think it's a good move in terms of long-term and short-term.
Yeah, I think if you're taking all things into account, you know, it's not necessarily the highest risk. So I think it's relatively low risk, medium risk. Obviously, the things that could happen that could make it look probably worse than it is. But if we're comparing it to some other offer sheets and contract extensions that Sean Marks has put on the table, you know, to the likes of Alan Crabb and Tyler Johnson, you know, the short amount of the extension, it's almost like he's learned his own mistakes, learned from his own mistakes. There is not a lot of risk involved compared to the fact that, you know, the risk could have been obviously that they could have had to hand out more and all these other myriad of factors that you're sort of talking about in comparison to other players. I think the only other player on the market that probably would have garnered a high level of amount of buzz, especially right now, is Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram is essentially the only really guy left on the market who is going to be probably one of the more coveted free agents, and that's saying something heading into this new class. So I think you do make a fair point in that regard.
Yeah, I think I was looking over the list with Corey actually earlier today. You have, you know, Brandon, obviously Anthony Davis with the Lakers, who's most likely going to stay there. You got Brandon Ingram, Andre Drummond, Gallinari, Joe Harris. You know, there's a couple guys out there, but a lot of guys signed their extension today. It was really crazy to see it all kind of come down to the wire.
Yeah, it's sort of almost like free agency day, almost when everything sort of comes out and pops out. I was really surprised. You know, I woke up and I was just, you know, looking at all the DMs that was happening, and it was surprising. And I think when Torian Prince was sort of announced, I was literally just about to walk into work and I'm like, oh, okay, here's something. And you know, sort of look at it and you try and the immediate reaction is like, well, Sean Marks has done it again. But obviously no greater than A+. You know, you look at all the deals in comparison. Out of all the deals that were done today, it's probably one of the better deals because of the low risk involved and because of the fact that, you know, it's not an extensive deal and you're paying for somewhat of upside, but also you're giving the player the option, like you mentioned, Nick, to get back on the market and earn another sort of solid deal. So I think it benefits all parties involved.
And just the fact is, you're legitimately a championship team. You need depth. You have the stars. You have all the pieces now. And I tweeted something out. You know, the Nets have a great combination when KD is healthy of elite talent and young potential. Like Torian Prince's best basketball is in front of him. He can definitely improve. You know, other guys in his team like Caris LeVert, Jared Allen. And it's kind of a perfect mix. You know, maybe if KD or Kyrie ever take a step back moving forward, these other guys can kind of step up and take some of that load.
Yeah, I think it just makes everything, the balance of this roster, there is a stability within it in terms of the fact that, you know, guys have gotten paid, so they're not really going out there to prove anything. They're an individual worth. You know, they're all there. They're all wanting to achieve a common goal. They want to get that chip. It's unlikely this season, but, you know, we can certainly make some steps. And I think all of these deals, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Joe Harris next, but I think that's probably down the line where probably a bit more focus on what's happening in the starting points of the regular season.
Now, Jack, one last question. This is just kind of for fun. If the Nets were 100% healthy this year, would they be the best team in the Eastern Conference?
Yes, because Kevin Durant is that good.
I agree. I think the depth would be incredible. You'd be starting Kyrie, LeVert, Prince, KD, Jared Allen. Your bench would look like Spencer Dinwiddie, Garrett Temple, Joe Harris, Rodions, and DeAndre Jordan.
You're literally looking at, in a sense, what the Clippers have right now in terms of the amount of top-end talent with the amount of depth. And because the Nets are missing their key piece, it's like how if Paul George were to be out an extended period, to be honest, it's more like if Kawhi Leonard were to be out for an extended period. But the Nets are still a very good team. You know, I've talked them up as a third seed. It does all start in only a couple of days. We'll be getting those game recaps to you soon enough. And there's, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie's contract still has to be finalized. There seems to be some progress with him in the NBA. So that's obviously a good sign for him as well. But I think we're really excited to just get the basketball up and going.
Yes, sir. And keep an eye out. We maybe drop a preview before opening night. And like Jack mentioned, we'll definitely be doing the game recaps. And as always, we appreciate you guys checking in. And like we mentioned, you can find the show on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Also head to ZineTree/OffTheGlass. Use discount code OTG5. Save yourself $5 on a Brooklyn Buzz tee.